The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
Folks, we're going to go on a little walk today. I'm going to take you on a walk from where I used to live, all up the Volvo, past the White Cross, we used to call it, the Catholic Church. Left at the Wainley, carry on down, Worley Woods and that'll be up onto your right, but we're going right the way down Norman Road, with the GKNs and Thimble Mill Baths and Thimble Mill Library. Then we're going to turn left to come up by the Londonderry and back up by the Queen's Yed. Back through Moat Road, Pound Road, and back down there. So it's a walk we used to go quite a lot on, really, when we were kids. And it's full of fascinating little facts and stories about when we were kids. So let's start then. I growed up on the Kirkmore Estate, which was back of a place called Causeway Green, the Hen and Chickens and the Barrel. Many people know the Hen and Chickens because Ray Cutler's band used to play there on a Sunday night, and they used to have dances and stuff, and also local bands, and Stevie Winwood used to play when he was still at school, and Spencer Davies band, and there was a band called Little Acre, played there a lot when we was kids. Fantastic band. And the Barrel was the haunt for the local blokes off the estate, I suppose, really. My dad, when he was on the 2 till 10 shift, he'd always go down, pop in the Barrel for half before he'd come in. My mother used to say, "Have you been for half?" And he'd go, "Oh, Kath, I have." And then my dad and Uncle Bill and Uncle Eric used to sing there as the Murray Brothers. We used to go down, usually on a Saturday night sometimes, before they went going to the club in Ashes Road. And they used to sing there. It was absolutely brilliant. Any road up, we get on to Brandall Golf Course. Now, that brings back a lot of memories. Unfortunately, the golf course is closed now. And I think there's a lot of ooh-ahing, to-ing and fro-ing as to what it's going to be. Somebody told me that my old school, Causeway Green School, was going to be rebuilt on there, and then there was going to be a leisure centre, and then there was going to be houses and that, but at the moment it's a bit dilapidated, but we had some great fun. We used to hide in the trees in Ferndale Road, and the first tee on top of the caves, they used to drive, and there was like a blind spot on the fairway, and so when the ball bounced, we'd run out from the trees, naff the golf ball, go back behind the trees, and the blokes would like search for it, and then they'd drop another one because they got to carry on. And then we'd go and sell them to them when they come first, when they'd finished the 18-hole. And then there was another place there that we loved. The ninth green, I think it were. There was this oak tree that we said was, when we was kids, we used to say it was the oldest oak tree in the world. And we used to, one of the things you had to do to get in the gang was you used to have to climb to the top of this oak tree, and it was big, I tell you. And if you was like 6 or 7, you'd be frit to death, but you had to go up the top if you had got to be in the gang. And then we'd play until the parky come, the green man or whatever they used to call him. We used to play Olympic Games in the bunkers. You'd run all across the green, and then you'd leap into the air and see how far you could go across the bunkers. It was great. And he rode up. Come out to Brangadoor Golf Course and get on the Wolverhampton Road and start walking up. And I suppose the focal point, I could see it from our bedroom window. You could see the White Cross of the Catholic Church, and you'd see the folk school there on a Sunday. And next to it was St Hubert's, the junior school, which I think again has moved or changed now. And St Hubert's were our mortal enemies in the inter-school sports. If you was... Remember when you was kids, you used to have like your houses in the school, and you'd have sports day, and you'd have egg and spoon race, sack race, that one where they tied you to somebody else's leg and both and you had to run and stuff like that. Well, anyway, then they'd pick the school team and then down the old Ackles and Pollocks ground, which is now the AA, Birchley, you would go to the inter-school sports, and all the schools would close and all your mothers and fathers would come. It'd be like a mini Olympic Games. It'd be great. And St Hubert's were our mortal enemy. It was either us or them, or possibly Rude End. They always used to win the inter-school sports. We had some great teams, absolutely great teams we did. Any road up, we went past there, and you turn left, and that takes you now down towards the bottom of Worley Woods up on the right. You get to the island and you carry on across, and eventually you'll hit Norman Road. Now, Norman Road is a long, long road. It's quite a wide road, and I used to walk down it with my granddad quite a lot. And I used to think everybody must be posh here because the road's wider than any of the roads around, and the houses were like set back on the one side, and on the left-hand side there was like a long strip of green and trees and like a little shrubbery. And also there was some water and bridges and that in between the trees, which I think are still maintained now. Yet it was, it just seemed endless. It was one of them roads where you think, this I ever going to end, this road, eh? And you'd be walking down on your little feet and your granddad would be there, like having a fake or something, with his cap on. And usually to go watch the football at the GKN, which we'll come to. But I used to think, I've never seen a road as long as this in my life. And over the road, there was a weird house that was like a doctor's house. It was an house, but there was just one sign. And I'd say to my granddad, what's that? And he'd say, it's the doctor's. And say, well, what's he got an house for? Hey, he got a proper one, like down in Albury, where Dr. Beveridge and Dr. Shaw is. And he said, well, I don't know, because we don't use it. But it was this, it just seemed peculiar that this doctor's was just like, you knocked on somebody's front door and there and went in to see him. And he rode up. Took us hours, I suppose, to walk down Norman Road. And the memories would come back of them walks with my granddad, and he'd roll his fake, or he'd have a park drive or a Will's Whift while we were walking, and I could always hear the clips of the hobnails on his brogues, because the men used to put tips on them, on the heels and the toes, and so they'd click as they walked. I don't know why, whether it was something to do with being aired in the factory if I was walking up on somebody in there, I don't know, with all the noise in the factory. But all of them seemed to do that. You could buy little, like, half-osh shoe metal things, and they'd nail them into the heel of the shoe, probably to protect the heel and the toe. So you get this, like, click-a-tick-click-a-tick-click-a-tick. And it used to drive me round the blooming bend, it did. Anyway, we come to the end of Norman Road, and on the left, you've got the GKN sports ground. Now, the GKN had play probably in the Brummage and Works League. And when I were 14, 15, I played for Albright and Wilson's in the Brummage and Works League. It was ever so weird. I don't know how I got in it. I know me dad's brother, Uncle Kane, he was the chauffeur for the big noises at Albright and Wilson's. And he did play for their football team. So it might have been through that or a connection with my granddad. But I started to go and train with him. And the pitches are like at the back of Langley Green Station. You can just see them. There's the big towers of Albright and Wilson's, and the pitches are there. And I played probably, I don't know if it was a season or half a season with them. Some fantastic grounds. I mean, I remembered Bourneville. Bourneville ground was probably as good a pitch as you'd see anywhere. The groundsman kept it lovely. It was in like a rurally sort of village setting, and it was just it was like a billiard table. If you couldn't pass a ball on Bourneville football pitch, when you shouldn't be playing football. And the GKM was one of the teams we played, I remember, and it was quite funny with me playing because I was pretty nifty, and these Works Leagues players was like big blokes, really. So you'd like dink them or something, and then they'd want to kick you up in the air because you'd made them look a fool. And then somebody from Albright and Wilson's would come and stick up for thee, and then there'd be a rook and that. So most times that'd cause a fight because of how I was playing. But I remember playing on GK, and I can't remember if we won or not. But that wore one of the better pitches, to be honest. It was a good pitch. I think they had a couple of pitches, but it wore one of the... It was on a bit on a slope. The surface was all right, and it was in a nice setting. But from what I can remember, I can't rate it as good as some of the other pitches. Over the road, excuse me, was the library, which we day frequent, because I used to go in Langley Library, which was by me... me Nana Dakins, and that was funny, all at the libraries, because you could have five cards, all different colours, to take five books out, and you'd take your cards, and then stamp your card, and put it in the book, and you could keep them then, and then you'd change them over when you went down, and we used to go to the library every week, down in, just off Bars Road in Langley. It was a tiny little library, it's still there. I'm glad it ain't closed, because it's a lovely, lovely library. Thimblemill was a bit bigger, and I think it's one of the focal libraries now, where they have a lot of events on. But next to that was Thimblemill Baths. Now, Thimblemill Baths used to be a baths in the summer, but in the winter, a bit like Langley Baths, they'd board it over, and you'd either have wrestling or boxing, or you'd have concerts on there. And... it was great. I don't really like it that much, because it had weird changing rooms, and it wore as humbly as Langley Baths, and it was a bit further to go. So we died good there very often. But I did a project on Thimblemill Baths a few years ago now. It was called Dance Halls and Cinemas of the Black Country, and it was about it being a dance hall. We collected some great stories. There was one where... the bloke that used to run it had the Beatles on, and it was about 2 weeks before they was number one on the charts, and they'd got somewhere to go the next night to a gig, and save going all the way back to Liverpool, they asked this bloke if they could sleep on like the benches, and then he said no, and he sent them off back to Liverpool and regretted it. And then there was other stories, like he'd say some of them were real divas and others were really lovely. Graham Nash, he said, at the Ollies, he would watch the local band. That they'd always put a local band on first for them, and he'd watch the local band, and he'd sort of bring them into their dressing room and tell them to have a drink and some crisps or something, and he'd give them like constructive criticism. He says he was a lovely bloke. And then there was a funny one about Cleo Lane and Johnny Dankworth. All of the assistants, like the bath assistants and that, they had to do another job in the winter, and this one of them had got was on lighting. And Johnny Dankworth had got this idea that the band would be on the stage, but Cleo Lane would be out in the reception once everybody had sat down. And then the first song, he'd start to play, or his band would start to play, and then the spotlight would shone on the duo, and Cleo Lane would come through singing, walking through the crowds, then go up onto the stage, really sort of dramatic-like. Well, anyway, it started, and obviously Cleo Lane thought, well, I've got to go in now, because the song started. And I started singing, and it was pitch black. And it was like fumbling away through the crowd, like, and nothing was happening. And the manager run round, and the young chap, who was like a bath attendant, but now in charge of spotlights, had gone to sleep in the changing rooms. So there was no spotlight on Cleo Lane. And this bloke thought it was really, really funny. And another thing about Thimblemill Baths, before we move on, is that it's supposed to be the most haunted baths in Europe. And apparently folks come from all over the place just to go to the baths and like stop to see if they could see any ghosts. And we were told, he took us down, when you go to the end of the baths, there's like a doer and some steps, and you go down, and it's where all the piping is and all the you know, storerooms and that. And the warm much down there. But he said, and it was really weird, because you can hear the hum of all the pipes, but you can also hear this eerie sound of the folks in the baths upstairs. So there's like this very, very ghostly atmosphere there, and it's grey and the lighting's very dim. So you're walking around, and he took us in this room, and this room was full of drawings and messages and kids' little cartoons. And he said that was where they'd sent the folks if in the war they were bombing and they got a bit close and they'd come here to shelter. And when he took us to the far end, there was like a square that I would say was about 3 foot square. And it had been bricked up. It was like new bricks. All the others was old bricks. And we asked him what it were. And he says, well, there was a tunnel from here across the road to the t'other side of the road. So if the bombs got too close, the folks in the air raid shelter would go and escape. And apparently there's two instances of views. One is there's a little wench called Emily that used to stay in the air raid shelter, and her apparently play, whether I died or not, I don't know, but her apparently plays and you can hear her laughing and singing. And the t'other one is it was the site of an old bare knuckle circle that the gypsies used to hold. And they said they have had instances where they don't tell anybody that there might be something down there, but they've had instances where they've had workmen go down and come back and they've got like a busted gob or a bump on the head, and they say, what's the matter? And they says, I'm sure somebody's just punched me, you know. And they go, oh, it's one of the bare knuckle fighters from the gypsy circle. Now, ain't that a great story? What don't you think of that? So you might pass them by my bus and not give it a thought. But if I were you, I think they organise ghost trips. I'd go on one of the ghost trips just so you can have a look downstairs, because it's really, really weird. Even if you don't believe in ghosts, the air will stand up on the back of your head, because it's like cold and there's this constant hum. And then you can hear these weird noises, you know, like when Babby's squail and that, when them jumping in the water and all that. But it's so distant, almost like an echo. And it really frits you. So you turn left there and start going up the road. Uplands Skill is just on the right. I think it's still called Upland Skill. And we used to play there on a Sunday in something called the Festival League. It was all the lads that were played in the Borough side. And we all used to play in the same Uplands Colts, we were called. We used to win everything. I mean, we had all the best players in the Borough. And we used to play all over Brummagem and places like that. But what was great about our home pitch was it was gravel. Because the all-weather pitches then were just gravel. It wore this like soft stuff. And nobody who come to play us there ever beat us, because you just wore used to it, because the ball would bounce all over the place and you'd got to keep it on the floor. It was no use lumping it in the air and expecting it, because it had just, you know, it had bounced 20 foot in the air. So we used to play there like every other Sunday. And I can even remember the kit. It was like a bit like Barcelona's kit. I think it was red and black stripes. Black shorts, black socks with red tops. And of course you couldn't wear football boots. And so we used to wear they were like hockey boots, they were like fabric boots. And instead of having proper studs, they had like little square blocks. And that's what the blokes would wear, or the wenches would wear when they played hockey. It was a long walk up there. Quite a long walk. The cemetery's not far from there. A big old cemetery that stretches for miles and miles and miles. And eventually you come to the Queen's Head. And if you turn right down there, you go down the Londonderry, which takes you down towards Smethwick, onto Smethwick Hall. You can turn left and go down to Smethwick Park, which we'll talk about one of the times. I think I've talked about the football pitches on Smethwick Park, but the park itself has got loads and loads of stories. So if you go down to the Londonderry, if you turn, I think there was a pub on the corner, it's now a veterinary surgeon, but that was called the Queen's Head. And just on the left, down there, was the old Smethwick Hall, and I think it was Smethwick Cricket Club, used to play on the left near, and they're now building the Olympic pool there, well, the Commonwealth pool it is, but it's like an Olympic size. So they're completely transforming all that just on the left-hand side. And I used to spend a lot of time down the Queen's Head, because sometimes we used to come up to me Nana Dakins, and they lived in Lansdowne Road, which were fair from that. And when I went off to Parkes' on a Saturday, to go and make the suck factory opposite the Regent. My grandad had leave the list and my grandad would take us round the Queen's Head shopping, and you could sort of get anything. You'd have to go anywhere. You could get anything you wanted from the Queen's Head, because you'd have your butchers, your grocers, your bakers, your haberdashery shop, your cake shop, your cafe. And there were all many shops there, but you could get absolutely everything, everything that you wanted. And I used to absolutely love it. I don't think he ever used to go in for a jar at the Queen's Head. I can't ever remember it. Because we frequent pubs and that. But it was like a little, well, I suppose it was a little village. It was a little bit smaller than Langley High Street. But you knowed everybody, you know. You'd go, all right, they'd say what you come for, and you'd have not your normal stuff. And a lot of folks would have stuff on the slate there. So that would mean that you wouldn't actually pay for it on the day. But when you got paid on a Friday, you probably went in and you might have given them a shilling. So you was always owing them money. But they knowed that it was safe, really, because you'd pay that regular amount. But it would allow you to get all your shopping that you wanted and your dagger short. It's a shame, really, eh, that these places don't run things like that now for these folks. And then maybe I wouldn't have food banks and stuff like that. But it was like a magical place. When our granddad used to say, come on, we'll go down the Queen's Head, I used to think, oh, fantastic, ah, brilliant. We're going to meet all the shopkeepers. We're going to meet all the folks that we know. And I just absolutely loved it. And going these walks, it's ever so funny, because you walk it as then, not as now. So, you know, you pass the little old churches and you remember things about maybe a Christmas chapel that you'd been there to, or you'd pass a school and you remember going, playing them at football. Or there mightn't be an house like up Bristol Hall Road. Some of my uncles lived up there. And you walk up there and you sort of try and remember which the houses were. Because they're all the same houses. It's just that they've changed slightly. They've been done up, or a lot of them have brunged them because they used to be landlord-owned or they used to be council-owned. But now a lot of people have brunged them, so they've sort of customised them in a way. As I walked up through the Queen's Head, I was trying to think where all the old shops were, and if any of them would be the same families. I don't think any of them there now were still owned or run by the same families there are, would have known, like 60 plus years ago. But it sort of still had the same kind of atmosphere, because there was loads of local folks just going in there. Now, I could have gone up Bristol Hall Road, which takes you round the back, but I walked across by the little island. I come down Dog Kennel Lane, and the reason I come down Dog Kennel Lane was that there was a bloke called Stevenson that used to go to the grammar school with me. Pete, well, there was, he had him and his brother, but Pete used to play in the first 11 with me. And he was a bit of a strange lad. And both of his mother and his father were doctors. And this one time, I remember it vividly, which is why I went down there. And I did remember the house, because it was like a big double-fronted, sloping, roofed house to the left. It had it was a weird shape, a long sloping roof. And we were going to play either Ollie Lodge or Smedic Hall. And he said, call for we, me and Boxer and Jeff Tibbetts. He says, call for you on the way. And I thought, oh, blimey. I told me mum, and I says, well, be careful and mind your manners if them doctors, you know, don't speak out of turn. Well, his father were like really small glasses. He was like a scientist, and he got like black hair all over the place. It was like as though I'd put a comb through it, and it was full of lugs and stuff like that. And his mother was like tall and thin and elegant. It was ever such a weird match. And Pete was small, but his brother was about 6'36", you know, he was massive. And he rode up, we knocked on the door, and I expected like a palace, I suppose. And I've never seen such a rubbish tip in my life. It was all dark and dismal inside, and there was dust on the blooming banisters and everywhere. And there was newspapers piled up all over the shop. You know, in the hallway as you went in, there was like piles of newspapers, and then there was like books strewn on the floor, and then cups all out, like a cup stuck to a table. And I just thought, this is a bit weird. But I suppose if you've got loads of money, you ain't got to bother, have you? And they probably got servants or stuff, because our nana was in service to a doctor in Arbourne. And I said, there was, you know, this doctor and his missus, like they were, wore very house proud, and they used to have to clean everything. They'd just leave everything all over the floor, and there'd be clothes everywhere. But this was an absolute rubbish tip. And I went and told our mother, and I said, well, maybe they got servants to do it and stuff like that. Anyway, Dog Kennel Lane brings you down, if you turn left, we don't want to go right, down to Ollyhaw, brings you left down to the island, and on the right is the Merivale, which is a very, very, well, was a very, very famous local pub. Again, my dad and my Uncle Bill and my Uncle Eric played there, but you'd have everybody who'd go to the Merivale, you'd say, you know, have you been to the Merivale? Have you done this at the Merivale? And you'd say, no. Oh, you've got to do that. So it was a focal point, really. And at that island, you could go right to Rood End. You could go down towards the Bughouse, to Langley Bughouse and Langley Green, or turn left, and then you could go up to past Langley Baths, which again is another story, really. We used to go and watch the boxing there in the winter. I see Jackie Tapin fight there, see the wrestling, see Jackie Pala wrestle there. It was great, it was absolutely great. But I love that baths, because you could go, and then you could dive bomb and do stuff off the boards. But then when you was finished, you'd just get a cup of Oxo and some crackers, and you'd sit on the side, and your face would be all wrinkled and your hands would be all wrinkled. But you'd just that would just be nectar, wouldn't it? Come out of Langley Baths, a Wowgool on Causeway Green, we'll come up Mount Road, because Mount Road is where my grammar school was. The grammar school was on the left, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful old building built in a quadrant. I forget about the new bits, the Chemilab and all that, because it was the old place that I loved. And there was like a tower on it with a bell, and then the big Cresco sign, the Oak sign of our badge, the Oak. And before they knocked it down, every time I drove up Mount Robe, I would stop and I would stand there by the fence and I would look at that sign. And I was really, really proud. And I'd sing the school song. I don't know it all, but I know a bit of it. Mid ceaseless toil and the swelling smoke, where the mighty furnace glows. The night skies ablaze through the make and the airs, the Albury school arose. Ere sons and the daughters both have proclaimed a due meed of renown. For some the hero's crown, for some the martyr's frown. So, hurrah for the old boys of Albury, who have built up the name of a school. We must play the game, we must do the same, until all bear the fair name of Albury. Though the strife of life may be swift and clean, though we find hard knocks to rule, eat not the praise or game, carry on and play the game, for we are boys or girls of Albury School. I'll never forget that. We used to sing that, I think, every day in assembly. It was fantastic. And I loved every minute there. The weirdness of it, the quadrant. You could only walk one road round. So if you wanted to get to class, you know, room two, and you was in room three, you had to go all the way around the corridor. You couldn't just go from three to two. The library was right in the middle of the quadrant, the domestic science room, the art room. It was just wonderful. It was just a wonderful, wonderful place. And we've told you about Barnford Park. That was on the right. And all of the houses was big houses in Mount Road. It was just, you'd come out and they'd all be like long drives and double fronts and all that. And some of the teachers lived in there. And the posh kids who used to come from Wally Woods Way and Ed used to call we the council boys, because they'd go off up towards the Wolverhampton Road or wait for them to be picked up in the motors. And we'd go through Barnford Park. It just brought back fantastic memories. And then past the gates of Barnford Park, like the lower gates, it all changed, and there were like terraced houses at the top. It was like all of the The posh folk lived at the one end and all the poor folk lived at the other. And it brung her up to the top of Pound Road then. And I'd just go right then down Pound Road because there was the Sally Army place on the right-hand side where the Cresconians, the old grammar school lads, used to play on the pitch behind it. It was absolute rubbish pitch, but we used to love playing on there. And then there was the old Tech, again, our mortal enemies, on the left-hand side. Knew a lot of kids who played at the Tech. In fact, Loz, a bloke who used to play some music with, he played there. I think he went there. And then we'd cut across and go across the hostel and we'd be back on the Wolverhampton Road. And I suppose that walk would take you, well, if you were slow, probably 3 hours. But the memories that it brought back and brung back for me was just fabulous. I spent more time stood looking at places that maybe had changed a bit and thinking what they were like and who I met there and what stories they held. And it was just an absolutely fantastic experience. So, I mean, the reason I've told you about this is you don't have to go walking on green fields and up bonks and stuff like that. You can walk around roads and it's just as interesting. And maybe next time I'll take you on another walk somewhere else. So look after yourself. Ta-ra.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.